You're listening to Inside You with Michael Rosenbaum. Remember this one? I had a fan. She sang the theme song. I aired it a while ago, but I just want to air it again. Look at this.
It's my point of view. You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum.
Ta-da-dee. Oh, thank you for that. Just a gorgeous rendition. That's last underscore daughter underscore of underscore Krypton. I love you guys, and thank you for listening to Inside You and all the support and the love. I mean, people come up to me, not even so much for Lex Luthor as much as they're like, dude, Inside of You, I love it. I'm like, it makes me feel so fucking good, Ryan. Ryan's here.
Hey.
Quiet Ryan. You're going to be hashtag Quiet Ryan now. Throw a hashtag Quiet Ryan. What's your Twitter and stuff?
It's at Tellez Ryan, so it's TellezRyan.
Yeah, man. Ryan's here, hopefully for the long haul, unless he gets,
poached by Dax Shepard again.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Oh, that was good. Oh, poached by Dax Shepard. Yeah. That's what happened to the last guy, Rob, who I love. We're still good friends. That was good, Ryan. You fuck.
Now I'm here.
Hey, again, thank you for listening. As always, I always say that because I genuinely mean it, because I want to do this and I love it and I hope you love it. You're listening. And In Love with Michael Rosenbaum and Chris Sullivan is also out. So subscribe and write a review. It helps enormously if you take the time, if you want to, if you like the show. So thank you. I'm doing some signings. Madison, Wisconsin, I believe. Columbus, Ohio. Where else am I going? Austin, Texas down the road. I'm going to Germany with the band Left on Laurel. Play some music in Frankfurt. The dates will be up. Go look on Left on Laurel. What else? The album's out. Hopefully Mia will take out my ums. But Left on Laurel is the band. The album is Saved by the Ground. We're going to play a song at the end of this podcast. And hopefully you're buying the album or the merch store. You can go on Inside You Store and you're going to find all the Left on Laurel merch. Some really great stuff. And I hope you enjoy the music. I do. And you tell me how you feel. I know you guys will tell me how you feel. If you don't like it, you know, I respect that. What else? That's it. Let's get right into it. Today we have Jason Mewes, Clerks, Chasing Amy,
Mallrats, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, Dogma,
Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, which is out October 14th. The guy's always working, but the great thing about him is he is an open book. He tells you everything. Boy, we get into it. We talk about his addiction, how he made Kevin Smith cry, how he turned his life around, and how he works at it every day. I don't try to make new friends in this show, but God bless, man. I think Jason's a new friend. Anyway, that's enough. Let's get inside Jason Mewes.
It's my point of view. You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum was not recorded in front of a live studio audience.
My whole house is filled with little shit. You can see it, right?
I love it.
I won't grow up, man.
I love the Iron Mask. It's great, too.
Do you know what that's from? It's not actually the Iron Mask. It was from an episode of Smallville, and I took it, where it was called Onyx, where I split in half, and I tortured myself, which I do normally in real life. But
and
yeah,
they let you take the part.
Well, I took it.
I love it, too.
Right?
So are we recording right now?
Oh, yeah.
Man. Oh, sorry. So the first time, I think I remember, first time we met your acquaintance or friends with Mike McGinnis, and we were out at a club.
80s thing. Was it an 80s night?
Yeah, it was 80s night. Yeah. And I remember being so, he knew I was, because we lived together. When I first moved out here, I lived with Mike. And Mike knew I was a huge Smallville fan. And he was like, dude. And I was like, look. And I like pointed at you.
No,
was,
you didn't.
I did. I swear I did.
You did?
I was so excited. And he's like, I know him, dude. I'll introduce you. And I was like, no, I don't know what to say. And it was really awkward for me and stuff. But I fanboyed out. And then he introduced me. We talked a little bit. So it was really cool, man. For me, it was really cool. And I that's what I love about the cons, honestly. It's, I love going and you get to like see people that you've watched. But I always feel awkward. It's funny because you go in a green room and it'll be like, you know, you walk in the green room and it'll be like Sam Raimi, Bruce Campbell. And over here is like, you know, Tom Welling and Michael Rosenbaum, and like everyone like sort of sits together, knows each other and stuff. And I always get excited because I'm like, oh, I love that person. I love this person. And I don't want to sit in the table right in the middle of everyone. So I always I never go in the green room.
Jason.
But it's
this is do you understand? This is what I always talk about. I never feel like I belong. I can really pretend like you're like that guy's holding court. That guy's, you know, Mr. Actor guy. But I'm always uncomfortable. So yeah. I say it's almost like if I'm going to be uncomfortable, I'm going to make everybody else uncomfortable. I'm going to show them or at least make them believe that I fit in, even if I think I don't. Instead of I just have fun, even though I'm kind of dying inside. So if I was at the 80s concert and it was like, you know, if I would have seen you. I go, dude, that's fucking, are you kidding me? That's Jason Mewes, that's Silent Bob. He's like, do you want to meet him? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I do want to meet him. I mean, I'm always like a kid in a candy store. I'm like, when I go to cons, I look for toys. I always buy shit. I think the con I was at with you, I think I bought the Batmobile signed by Adam West at the time.
Yeah. No, I always go home with stuff. And I used to go home with a lot of stuff. And then I started running out of room. My wife started to, got a little bummed out because I was coming home with way too much stuff. And now I have a 4-year-old. So now not only do I shop for myself, I can't help but be like, oh, my kid will love this. My kid will love this. And it's so funny because I realized now that I have a kid, the first thing I saw when I drove up your neighborhood, and I won't say what it is, but I was like, oh, he's right down the street from a school, which is a good school of what I've heard anyway.
For kids, yeah.
So it's like you're so like how great if you know your kid can walk down to the school anyway. So I'm just saying
you should move up, man. Move around.
I saw a bunch of real estate signs.
Dude, you'd love it here.
What are your neighbors, bro?
Dude, that would be incredible. You could be on the podcast every day. Ryan, you haven't said a fucking word.
Sorry, is he just your tech or is he?
He's an engineer. He's my engineer. He's my engineer. So he's like, you know, if you ever want to talk to him or punch him.
No. But are you usually part of the show when you have guests? I'm saying, is it usually you and the guests? Are you technically part of the show?
I'm not here.
You're not here.
I'm not here.
So I wasn't sure.
I don't believe that. I don't agree with him. In fact, I said, Ryan, I'm going to ask you questions. And he's shy. He's quiet, but he's actually really funny and does comedy.
Yeah.
But he's like, hey, you know, I like to engineer. But if we want to talk to him, he's here.
Okay,
he's not
cool.
Like we're ignoring him.
Okay, cool. I just wasn't sure if you didn't want to.
You just have to give me a quarter first, and then I'll.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
Let's come up with a nickname by the end of this for Ryan, too.
Yeah,
he
right.
needs a nickname so people can go, oh, yeah, I really like Dumbledorf.
Yeah. Or something like something where he's here, but he's on the outside looking in, but
I'm
he's really
on
here.
The outside. I'm looking in. Well, who sang that? Is that Nickelback?
I don't know.
Stained.
Was it Stained?
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. And then there was like Firehouse.
I told you.
Oh, God,
wasn't there Firehouse? What was the song Firehouse?
Firehouse.
Sang?
Or something. Don't treat me bad. Is that it?
Yeah.
Is that what you're thinking about?
Yes.
God, we're going back, dude.
Is that your van outside?
Jeez, man.
I love it, dude.
Listen, a lot of people right now are thinking creepy.
No.
But I'm going to be honest with you. When I was a little boy, all my friends had vans. Their families would take them and their friends for trips and baseball games. And my dad, we never allowed friends to spend the night. My parents never let them. And we never had a van. So I always said one day, if I ever make any money, I'm going to buy a van. And that van is 17 years old. And I just, there's something, I can't let it go.
No, I love it. But I know exactly what you're saying. I had friends who, same thing, and they had the TVs in them at the time. They had the couch in the back that turned
into
a bed. It's going to
be stolen tomorrow.
Right?
It's got a TV. It's got the bed that goes down.
Snooch on the side of it, right? I'm driving. I'll repaint it so no one knows it's yours. But no, it is a cool van, and I could see why you would want it.
It's just so you load up the friends, and you go to Six Flags, or you go to a hike, or you go to the Olive Garden. I like the Olive Garden.
Awesome.
You go to the Olive Garden?
I have not gone in a while, but I used to more so when I was in Jersey. I grew up in Jersey, and right down the road was like the Olive Garden and all the different, you know, restaurants we'd check out. I don't eat out that much, honestly.
Are you healthy?
I'm not healthy. I wish I was. Like, I mean, look, I have like dad bottom.
I don't know. You're one of those good looking guys. Like, honestly, like, I think you wake up, you're handsome.
Thank you.
Well, even if your body goes away, you know, you don't work it out, I look at you and I'm going, he's not fat. I don't think he's like, you look like you're in shape somewhat. I don't think that at all. But your face does it ever get puffy?
When I was drinking, I'm sober now, but when I was drinking, it got really puffy a lot. And sometimes I feel like I've really gotten, what I've noticed recently in the last few years is my crow's feet. My crow's feet is really starting to come like full circle. I don't know why. I don't know what happened all of a sudden. Maybe it's because I don't sleep as much with the kid. She's 4 years old and she wakes me up in the morning by going like this, "Dad, Dad, wake up," you know, like opening my eyes. It's amazing though. I love it. So
do you use skincare products, Jason?
I don't.
Nothing.
No, sorry. Sometimes I do if my wife will like buy stuff and be like, "Hey, let's put this stuff on our face and watch an episode of Ballers or something." You know?
Like a cream or a mask?
Masks, sometimes cream. Sometimes there's like this charcoal black stuff that dries on your face and you peel it off.
How do you feel after?
It's nice.
Do you
it's
say,
nice.
"Hey, man, I feel soft and supple"?
It's usually. Every once in a while, I got a facial the other day with her. But again, it's usually a thing that I do with the wife. It's not like me waking up going, "All right, I'm going to go get a facial and then I'm going to go do this." What I do every day that I'm obsessed with is I try to go as often as I can, is I like to get an hour foot massage. Just my feet, not my back.
What's that called? Reflexology.
Yes.
That could be painful, but really, here it really works.
And I love it. I honestly really enjoy it. Sometimes, just each person. It's funny because I go to a place where there's probably about 20 chairs/beds, and there's probably about 10 different workers, and they swap out, and some of them really hurt, and I'll be like, whoa.
Wait, you swap out during this massage?
No.
Oh, like, no, you come in a different time, and it's there. I thought maybe every 8 minutes there's a new massage.
No, that would
like,
be awesome.
Hello, my name is Joan.
No, the guys, like, each time I go, this guy is the next one in line, so I have to, he'll do my feet. And then next day I go in, it's like, "Hey, you could get him, but he's busy right now, so here's so-and-so, you know."
Will you take me once with you?
I would love to,
I'm not
bro.
Kidding. I'm not, this isn't Hollywood talk.
No,
I don't know how it is. It's like, "Hey, could you take me for a foot massage too?"
No, I would love to hang out. I would love to hang out regardless and go get a foot massage.
I would love that.
It's always another weird thing for me. Like you said, we were talking about the cons and feeling out of place. I always feel awkward asking someone for the number because then I'm putting you on a spot.
Never.
Like, I don't want you to have my number, Muse.
Yeah.
And I'm asking you and then you feel bad being like, "Well, I got to tell him no, but I don't
I should probably
no.
think more. I should think before I did." So you're a thinker. You think, "You know what? I don't want to inconvenience this guy." Where I'm like,
"Yes.
Hey, he's a good guy, but you know, I think I could like this. This could be a great podcast guest, or maybe go for a game of squash."
I don't
play squash.
I don't play squash either. But
squash? Oh, was that your go-to?
I don't even know what squash is.
Foot massage. We can do foot massage. We could do podcasting.
Dude, I love you. Have a podcast?
Yeah, we haven't done ours in a while because we're about to. We stopped doing it because we're about to do like 2 months of touring with the
Jay and Silent Bob reboot
road show, which is we're going to watch movies with the peeps, and then we're going to do a Q&A afterwards, and then we do like photos and a meet and greet and such at some places. So we have 62, I think, right now set up for the end of October, November, December.
Jesus.
So, yeah, it's going to be tough.
Do you like it?
I enjoy it and I'm excited about it because I'm going to use my backpack and I think it'll be cool to go around. Like, people will get to live stream with me and be on tour with us and such. But now, again, now that the kid has made so many changes in my life, like I can be away from the wife, I would say a good 5 days before I really start missing her. 10 days I'm going crazy missing her, but I can go a good 10 days before I'm like, "Babe, I need to see you. I miss you so much." And I miss her all the time. Don't get me wrong, but I'm saying the kid is literally like half a day and I'm like already at the airport. Like, I don't want to go on this trip cause I'm not going to see the kid for 3 days. So I'm really concerned. This is the first time I'm going to be away from her for so long. And we're trying to coordinate now to where maybe the wife flies out to meet me in certain cities if I have 2 days off or something like that with her. So we'll see.
But you know what? This just came to me. This thought. I know you've been through a rocky road. Right? Through success and pain and all this shit. And you talk about it freely and openly. And I think it's therapeutic for you, correct?
Yes, definitely.
Did you ever think having a child and a wife and being sober, did you ever think that was a positive? Was there a time most of your life where you're like, "This is never going to happen to me"?
No, yeah, definitely.
You never thought that was going to happen?
No. There's definitely times where I didn't think that I'd have I didn't even think I'd own a house or have a new car or anything. There was moments like after Jay and Bob, like I got really bad shape. And even with Jay and Bob, like I didn't have my license. I lost it. And I didn't have a house yet. And I was, this was 2003. And I didn't get paid a whole lot, but a pretty decent where I could have like saved a little bit. But I was a really big mess. So I was 27. And I was in really bad shape, 28, 29, still things were like bad. So I was almost 30 and I'm like, that's it. I'm not going to have like a wife or own a car, own a house or anything. And then even more so, then things started looking up. I got married and found my wife and,
Jordan.
Yeah. Jordan's my wife. And I've been sober now. It's going on, it's 9 years Jesus. And 2 months. But even at like 45 years ago, I remember being like, wow, I'm almost 40 and we haven't had a kid. And my wife, like, I was like, that's it. I guess I'm going to be someone who doesn't have a child, which I wanted many years ago before I started getting like really messed up, you know, at the age of 21 and 22, whatever. My dream was, hey, I want that white picket fence and a family and all that stuff. Something I didn't have. But yeah, so there was many times it was like, you know, I didn't think I was going to have this. Then I had that, but I was like, I'm not going to have a kid. It looks like it's too late. And then my wife's like, no, let's try. And within like a month and a half, she was pregnant. So that was great.
Do you still think like do you still wake up honestly and go, this is a miracle. How am I fucking here?
No. Oh, yeah.
How
yeah.
am I fucking here? Because I mean, how many times would you say you relapsed in your life? Would you say
tons?
Would you
yeah.
say 20?
I feel like yes, but because I feel like there was many times where I had like only 2 months and then I'd relapse. So there was many of those. But then there was even a couple big ones where I had like, you know, when I had 4 years and I relapsed, that was a big deal. And I think the time before that I had like a year and a half or so. Like when you get that much time and then you relapse, then I really feel like, man, I did it again. It's like I was doing well.
You go even lower. Than
yeah.
That, you know? Like
so,
you just feel like, what the fuck am I doing, man?
Yeah. And so it has been. And it's been, you know, between that and being in Jersey and then like working and then disappearing, I didn't work for like 2 years. And again, I didn't plan on acting or anything. My goal was to like, when I was 17, was to like own my own roofing business, and then Kevin.
That was Clerks. It.
Yeah, and even after Clerks, I went back to like construction and.
Well, how did that happen? Again, you've told this story a million times, so maybe you can tell it a different way. But yeah. I don't even want to like, you know. I know you met Kevin. Were you guys immediately drawn? Like, I love this guy. Were you like?
No, he was older than me, so we didn't like. I knew him, but We weren't friends. It took some time. Kevin didn't want to like. Kevin saw me as like a little kid and was like, but I used to see him all the time and talk to him at the community center. He worked there. It was really, I started hanging around him, Brian Johnson and Walt Flanagan. Those guys are from Comic Book Man and the friends, they went to high school with Kevin, but again, they were all 4 or 5 years older than me. So at 13, 14 years old, they didn't want to hang out with me necessarily, but I would see them all the time at the community center and they would talk about comics and all that stuff. And then I started helping Kevin at the convenience store where he worked. He started working at the Quick Stop.
Right.
So we started hanging out a little bit then. And then, like, I guess I started growing on him. And then he thought I was funny, obnoxious.
But he wasn't anybody.
But no, yeah.
He wasn't anybody. So when you say growing on him, did you look up to him at that point already?
Yes.
Were you always like, I want to hang out. I want him to like me.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny you say that. Yeah. Because, again, I always found... at that age, it's like me and my friends would do fun stuff. We'd go to the woods, build forts and fix go-karts and bicycles, shoot BB guns. But Kevin and Walt and those guys talked about comic books and they would talk about movies and they use big words. Like, you know, like for me, like I'm serious. It's funny to say, but it's true.
This is my life now. It's like, oh my God, what word was that? Intelligence
and
is
like,
the word.
Yeah. And all that like really drew me in. And they also like, because they were older, they had girlfriends and would talk about girls. I would talk about girls, but I didn't kiss a girl until I was like 16, and I didn't lose my virginity until I was 18.
Me too.
So I was saying at like 14, like they were like, yeah, man, I just went on this date with this girl. So all this stuff was appealing to me. So yeah, like I looked up to Kevin and Brian and Walt, and I wanted to hang out with them, and they like comics and they were smart, and like, especially Kevin, like I found him, excuse me, like there's just something about him, and I wanted to hang out with them all
but
the time.
But what about, like, you know, did you have any idea that this movie was going to even happen, Clarks? Did you, were you like, you know, am I going to play this character? Am I going to?
No, he, I was helping him at the convenience store sometimes. And he's like, look, I'm writing a movie and I think you're funny. I want to know if other people find you funny. Is it just us Jersey guys, or or is it like someone in LA or Portland or Seattle? So I'm going to write a part for you in this movie. And he based the character on me as he saw me at 14 when I start trying to hang out with him in 15 and 16.
Right.
These are things I said.
It was just
did.
You.
Yeah, it was me. I used to like to smoke, and I would, you know, I would say snooch to the nooch and all these things. And so he wrote the character based on me, and he's like, we're shooting this movie. And I was like, yeah, sure. And then
you shot
the movie.
You weren't nervous? You didn't ever act?
No, I was nervous, but I wasn't. I didn't care because I didn't want to act.
You want to be a roofer.
But I was nervous because it seemed weird. All of a sudden, I'm saying these things and people were all watching me. When I did my weird stuff, it was like right now, if like we were all hanging here and all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, look, I dropped something in my bag was out or something.
Your balls? Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Then it would be like, ha, 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 because I'm doing it, but not for your entertainment, but for my own.
Right.
But if you were like, pull your bag out, then I'd be like, oh, now it's, well, which is weird to say, because you never asked me to do that. But
I could.
But my point is,
right now,
it's like, it was.
Pull your bag out!
Exactly. It went from like me doing all this weird stuff to him being like, hey, I wrote it down, say this, do it now. Everyone's waiting. Everyone's watching you to say snoochie, waiting for you to dance. And it made me so nervous. Not because I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to act, or I want to act. It was just like, I'm
unnatural.
Yeah, it was like, I feel weird being so goofy.
Because you're spontaneous, and it's hard to be spontaneous when the camera's running.
That's the best
word. 99% of people, I don't know how many people think they could be an actor. I have friends that go, dude, you should put so-and-so. My friend Hunt, he's hilarious. Mm. You put that guy in front of a camera, he's going to sweat 10 pounds off his body, and he's going to probably shit a dump in his pants.
Yeah, it's a different beast, yeah.
You know, so it is hard. I get nervous still when I'm acting. So yeah. If you don't, it's not easy. So when the cameras are rolling and someone's like, action, to a guy that's never done it.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, snooch, you know, fucking, here's my bag.
Inside of You is brought to you by Rocket Money. I love Rocket Money. You know why? Because everyone should have Rocket Money, because it just helps you save money. How many times do we have subscriptions that we don't even know we have anymore, and we're paying so much money? It's just throwing away money, Ryan.
I found one.
You did it. You told me. I got Rocket Money.
Okay, I found one. I'm embarrassed to say how long it's been going on, but thank you for finding it. My God. It was embarrassing.
Yeah, because it's like you want to watch some show and you go, I have to subscribe to this this streaming whatever. Mm-hmm. And you start streaming the show, you watch it, you leave, and you forget after this trial period it kicks in, and they're charging you $10 a month. It is embarrassing.
Ugh.
You know, 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about. Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had, you know, like, oh, I have like 5 subscriptions. I could not believe it when they showed me I was paying for like 4 extra between, you know, streaming devices and fitness apps, delivery services. It's never ending. And thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on the ones I forgot about. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lowering your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll deal with the customer service for you. And I like that.
Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/inside. That's rocketmoney.com/inside. rocketmoney.com/inside.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, Walmart, Nike, Wine.com, Samsung, Lenovo, Sephora, and more. And even stack sales on top of cashback. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
It sounds like you got your shit together. I always look at people like, you know, just people I'm interviewing or my friends, and I'm like, God, man, another person's got their shit together. When are you going to get your shit together? Yeah. And I'm trying to get my shit together. It's not like I'm like, obviously it's evolution, but do you think you have a lot to work on still?
I do for myself. Yeah. It's like, I think for me, I love going out and working. If I can work, of course, I want to work as much as I can. I really feel like I have the trouble time committing. Time management is what I'm saying. And also eating healthy and stuff. Like, I do want to eat healthy, but I can't help myself. Because again, I'm not happy physically with myself. And I'll, at nighttime, I'll be hungry. And I'll be like, you know what, man, I got to stop eating like the way I do. And again, thank goodness, because again, I'm unhappy with, but I'm shocked that I'm not, because I'll eat a whole pizza at nighttime at midnight. And I'll be like, I can't eat a whole pizza. I'm starving, but why not have an apple, an orange? Go to bed, wake up, have a really good breakfast. But then I'll like obsess about it. And then I'll have a whole pizza.
And then feel terrible.
I'll wake up feeling my stomach's full.
See, that's the fucking thing, man.
Those are the things I have problems with.
You know, I go out now and I'm trying to eat healthy. And my friends are like, yeah, go ahead, have your salad and your chicken and your fucking nung, your dairy. And I'm like, here's the reality. If you get something, you can still have meals that taste good. But like when I eat, it's like originally, yeah, the taste of a burger, fries, the ketchup and mustard mix that I like going down your throat, a nice, crisp, refreshing soda, you know, and you're just like, oh, this is great. And then about halfway through, you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
You're already starting to get full. Now, if you're eating healthy, halfway through, it didn't matter what you eat. You're getting full now.
Yeah.
It didn't matter that, oh, you're now getting full, so it doesn't matter, and you're not feeling guilty.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I think about what I'm doing. I'm like, hey, I know you want that burger. I know you want to tap into a Slim Jim, but you're fucking not going to,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not going to tap into it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard. It's easier said than done, but it's like, you know.
It is. It's that stuff. It's me being like, you know, all right, I gotta do this, and this. But I have 3 hours in the day, and I have to go. You know, I've really been wanting to go to the doctors and get a checkup. You know, I'm 40 something. I never got my bunghole touched.
Me neither. Have you gotten yours?
Well, I have now.
I haven't.
But it took me years, and you know, and I kept saying, I'm gonna do it. And these are the little things that I have trouble with. And again, these are things that I want to improve on, because I do want to wake up and work, like come to your house, do this podcast, go to the doctors, come back home, give my kid a bath, get her ready for bed, you know, but I'll skip the doctor parks. I'm like, well, that's
you
not
don't take
fun.
Care
I'll
yourself.
Do it tomorrow.
Not yeah. having compassion for yourself, right?
Yeah.
You got to take care of yourself. That's one of the biggest things, like in therapy and shit. They're like, dude, stop taking care of everybody else. Your son, right?
Daughter.
I was close.
Yeah.
Your daughter, dude. She's not getting the best of you if you're not taking care of yourself, right?
It really is.
I mean, and I feel like that way with myself. Like if I'm, you know, I love my family and my friends, and I want to be the best friend I can, the best boyfriend. And if I, you know, so if I'm taking care of myself, I just got to light myself more. I got to, like this morning, I'm like, hey, you got a couple podcasts today. Just go fuck. I went and grabbed my tennis racket and hit a ball against the wall for 20 minutes and jumped in and took a swim. Just like half an hour, just to do something to get my body going, just to take my mind off things and just anything.
Yeah. is there a pool here?
No, thanks for bringing that.
Sorry, you said a swim. I was like, let me.
There's a pool up at the top of the hill.
Very nice.
I jump in. It's not mine.
No, I was just curious.
Some random pool.
I was just saying, I definitely would like to exchange numbers now, bro.
No, but I got a jacuzzi and a sauna if you want to get naked with me.
I would one day.
Got to bag it up. Yo, diggity.
It's the one, I'm like, with our house, we're happy with our house, but I'm like, man, I wish we had a pool, especially the kid now. She always wants to swim, and it's like, I just wish we had a pool, and then we start looking at houses, and it's like.
You know what I did? I don't have a pool, but it's cheaper. I joined this club, nice. Which is a couple $100 a month, and they got a pool, and they got tennis courts, and it's just go up there. It's three minutes away, and I just take a swim. If you ever want to swim with me, we can go for a foot massage, followed by a dip in the pool.
Ooh.
Dude, I'm in. I mean it. I'm in.
Serious.
I didn't have anybody to go with this morning.
Give me your number right now.
Dude, I will. Here
no,
it
I'm
is.
I'm just kidding.
827. Speaking of which, you know, when you came in, you were like, oh, you know, Kevin Smith wanted me to ask you something, blah, blah. So I'm like, call that mother. I like him a lot.
It's a good
He's
idea.
He's a sweet man. I don't think he liked me for a while.
Sorry, I hope he's not. I know he had something to do, but I hope he is not doing it right now. We're going to call him.
Just try it. Try it. Yeah, put it on speakerphone.
I agree, 100%.
Put it on speakerphone. Say, him with Michael Rosenbaum, you're on speakerphone on his podcast.
All right.
All right. Yeah. Jason Mewes is calling Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith wanted to ask me a question.
Yeah.
I love you.
Your call has been forwarded.
So maybe he'll call back.
All right, you know what I'm going to do now, though? So I am giving you my phone number. I'm going to call myself, and now you'll have my number.
Yeah.
And then we'll see if he really means it. Podcast listeners, let's see if he really means he wants to hang out, because I'm putting the ball in his court of such. So you can hang it up.
This is your number right here.
Yeah, I'm calling myself just so I had it. But again, it might not come through because my phone's not working. But now you could stop it, save it. Let's see.
Dude, I'm not scared.
No, I think honestly, it'd be really fun to go get foot massage and just hang out for a bit. And again, the podcast, you know, you ever want to double team somebody?
Excuse me?
You know? I mean, double team of the podcast with someone. Like, let's say you're like, hey, Kevin's coming on, and I'm going to surprise and double team him.
Oh, that would be great.
Mewes.
Like, that would be a great thing. Publicity stunt? Is that what they call that?
Yeah, yeah.
That would be pretty sweet.
Like maybe he comes on, it's just him, but then he doesn't know. Then all of a sudden I come through the door because I'm like, oh, I'm busy that day. He'll be like, why aren't you coming with me? I'll be like, I'm busy. And then all of a sudden they come back, and then all of a sudden Tom comes. He's like, dun, 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 dun.
Oh, you mean Welling?
Yeah, he's a cup hip Dugan, and he punt. No, I'm just kidding.
Jesus.
It's a whole scenario.
Let me ask you, you know, if it's one thing I've noticed when I was like reading about you, and you can read this stuff anywhere, but like, it's obvious that Kevin's one of those guys who's just, no matter what, he's been there. Like, you've probably, how many times have you said, I feel like I've just disappointed you, I feel so sorry? How many times have you said that to him, probably?
Oh, I mean, there's a few. Definitely the one that stands out again is the four-year one.
Yeah, you thought you were good. You thought, hey.
And I just, it's like I wanted to tell him, and I wanted to tell him, but I was like, no, he's going to be so disappointed. Because it wasn't even a matter at this point. I felt like it had gone by. I was older. There was other things. It wasn't like in the past. It was like, oh, my gosh, he's not going to talk to me. He's going to be so bummed out, and he's going to something. Like, this was just like, I know. He understands, because in the beginning he didn't really get it. Like, you know, some people, if they're not around the addiction and stuff in the beginning, they don't really get it or understand it. And he didn't know for a while. Like, I was getting high for a while before. I just would always be like, I'm tired, I didn't sleep last night. He'd be like, why are you falling asleep, like, hanging out right now? Like, you, I turn around, you're falling asleep.
And you had narcolepsy too, right?
Yeah, like,
is that true?
I didn't have it, but he thought I did, because he's like, because I would fall asleep so much, and he didn't get he didn't understand. And even in the beginning, I mean, the first time I got sober off of the drugs, I was like, I can drink. And he was like, oh, okay, as long as you're not doing drugs.
So he didn't get it.
He didn't get
it. When was it where he was like, fuck you, dude? Like,
it was after, I would say it was after. So, like, I messed up. They put me in rehab. They helped me get in rehab in Burbank. Right before Dogma, maybe, because I think we went out there for like for press or to do something, and then I went to rehab, and then I came back and I was sober for a little bit, and then I went I said we did like the Clerks animated, I think, series or something. And then I was off drugs, but I can drink. And then I started drinking. And then so that went back and forth. It wasn't until after Jay and Bob. So Jay and Bob 2001, I drank the whole time. If you notice from the poster or watch the movie, I'm a lot heavier in that movie than I am in any of the other movies or even now, because I was really bloated with water weight. I literally was drinking every night. Like, I met these two dudes. We were going to clubs. I was single. We would get like limos. We'd go out with fur jackets and like go out clubbing every night and stuff. And
did Kevin say something?
No, because again, I showed up to work every day and I wasn't using drugs.
And you knew your lines.
And I knew my dialogue.
And right when work was done, if you had a few days, you get fucked up.
Yeah. So like, and then it wasn't until after the movie, I went back home. I was taking care of my mom. She had HIV from using drugs. She passed away, and I sort of like lost it and like went on a crack binge. And when Kevin came to pick me up 3 weeks later, maybe it was about 5 weeks later, let's say, I was using heroin, but I also was using painkillers. And so if I couldn't get dope, I had painkillers to not be dope sick. So I know because I had seen the doctor when I got home, got a refill. And then when my refill was up, even though it was up sooner, but when I could go back was 28 days later, 29 days. So I went to the doctor, said, hey, it's been 29 days. Can I get my refill on my script? And they weigh you and everything. From when I had got there back from Jam Bob, I weighed 198. When I went back, I weighed like 168 or 169 or something like that. I had lost like 28 pounds, 30 pounds in like a month or whatever. Anyway, so when Kevin came 5 weeks later, Kevin comes, picks me up to go to fly to LA to go do a big press junket, you know, for the Jay and Bob Strikes Back. We're going to do press for the movie and all this stuff. And he said, when I came walking up to his car, and of course it's his perspective, he could tell the story better, but he literally thought that I had sent a friend out to tell him, hey, Jay's going to be out in a minute, because I was so skinny and my
eyes
were
so... Didn't look like
you.
You looked dead.
Yeah, I looked like a skinny... He said I looked like a very, very skinny, like sick version of myself, and that he thought I was a friend at very first. Till I got really close to the car, he realized it was me, and he broke down, started crying and stuff. And he brought me out to LA anyway. We tried to do press, but I was such a mess, I couldn't do it. And he said, look, I have to send you home, or I'm going to put you in rehab. We got you this really good rehab. I got to go to Promises.
In Malibu.
In Malibu.
And they paid for it?
And they did. They paid for it. Yeah. So they were like, look, we could put you in Malibu. And if you refuse to go to rehab and take care of this, try to get help, I'm going to send you back home. But I honestly don't want to talk to you till you get better. Because he knew that I would be like, well, what would I?
And talk
I
was like, your way out of it.
But I didn't, because he like sort of said, hey, I'm going to send you home and I don't want to talk to you anymore. That was a big deal to me. Like, he, again, even back then, it's like, I knew he never meant it, but it was sort of him, how he showed me. But I mentioned all that because, again, your question was, when did he realize? Is after that, he realized, like, hey, like, you can't just go drink and not do drugs. Like, eventually you're going to do drugs again. Also, because of the rehab, he brought me there, and he would come visit me on weekends and bring me stuff, and he would talk to the counselor and stuff, and he sort of got active with the other ones. He just dropped me off, be good, I'll see you in 30 days, man, please take care of yourself. This one, he like came up, talked to my counselors and stuff, and they were like, look, no, he can't drink, like, it's an addiction. Like,
it killed you that he wasn't talking to you. It killed you that when he broke down. I felt that was the first time he cried, right? To you?
Yeah, I would say it was the first time he cried. Yeah, in front of me.
And when he did that, I mean, that had to just like, it's a brother. That's like, hey, you're my brother. That's like, I'm really fucked up at that point. Like, there's no getting around this. Like, I really need to get my shit together.
Totally. No, 100%. And that's why, again, I was scared. You're scared to go away and take care of it. But again, I knew I needed to. Because I even knew before that happened, like, again, I think that was the first time it was like thrown in my face. Because, you know, I feel that I felt like for years that like you're in denial on how bad you are. And I was in denial because, again, thinking, it ain't that bad, you know, I'll do it. But as soon as I went to the doctors and realized I lost 30 pounds in like a month, I knew like, wow, like this is bad. Like that is not healthy to lose. Like, that's like a pound a day you're losing every day, a pound a day. Or
were you
something.
Also depressed? Were you getting anxiety? Did you feel like I don't want to live?
Oh, I was
live?
Depressed. My mom passed away. Oh, so yeah. I didn't want to not live. I've never felt the point. I don't think I was ever in a situation that I felt like I didn't want to live. It was lots of like, you know, I need to take care of this. I got to stop this. And then like, I'd get high and sort of forget it. Again, opiates is different. I feel like it's bad, and alcohol and everything too, but you physically get addicted. So like, as soon as you start, as soon as you start feeling that physical withdrawal, you're like, well, I just do a little bit and tomorrow I'll start because it's miserable.
And you make a lot of excuses. Like, you know, because I've talked about this many times, so I'm not going to talk about it again, but I went to Wellness Center and they're like, a couple months ago, and do you have any addictions? I go, no, I barely drink, which is true. I'm not a big drinker. I've never been a big drinker. No one would call me. People have come up, dude, remember we were fucking hammered? I'm like, no, I actually remember you were hammered.
I just
have a big personality, so I remember it clearly. But, you know, occasionally smoke a little pot for any kind of pain because of surgeries. But, like, I noticed, like, after the last couple surgeries, there was a problem where, you know, you're allowed to take every 3 hours, you're allowed to take a Norco. And I was like, yeah, Norco. And then after about a month and a half, my surgeon's like, so what are you doing now? What are you taking? I'm like, oh, you know, I still take probably two or three Norcos a day. And they're like, yeah, you probably don't need those anymore. So maybe why don't we trickle them down to, you know, in the next 2 weeks, I'd like you to be off of them. It upset me. Like, I remember thinking, oh, fuck. I was hoping you'd say, okay, we'll keep taking those. So it sounds good from a professional.
Totally.
So I was almost hoping that he'd go like, all right, well, do you need them? And I'm like, well, you know, I have pain and but you could use Advil and you could use other things. And I'd rather you not be on that. And he's a good surgeon. And I was like, okay, cool. But then about a month later, I'm like, I'm still taking one or two a day. Mm-hmm. And I'm like going, well, that's not addiction. I have one or two a day. I go to bed and I go, you know what? I wake up, I'll have an Norco.
Mm-hmm.
Last 4 hours and I'm good, and maybe at the end of the long day. But then I started thinking, oh, that's what's going to happen at the end of the day, and this is when I'm going to do this. I'm going to feel good here. I know that if I could just wait till that, I'm going to feel normal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know what I mean. But I know exactly.
It is fucking God. Yeah. And that when you get off that, man, I got really depressed. I was like, oh my God,
you can't
man.
Sleep, and it's like it's tough. I know exactly what you're saying. I did that when I first, after the 4 years, what happened is I had kidney stones and I was like, I can't take drugs. I have 4 years. I'm doing great, man. I was like, I'm a drug addict. I'm addicted to opiates and stuff. And the doctor's like, look, the kidney stones won't pass if you're in pain so just take them. You have to take. So they gave me a shot of Demerol. So that like, whew, all of a sudden I felt like, oh yeah, I remember this. And then they gave me painkillers to get home. And at first I was taking them as prescribed, like you said, every 3 to 4 hours. But then I noticed it. Like at first it was every 4 hours. Then I was like 3 hours and 58 minutes. It's just 2 minutes early.
I know.
But it's 4 hours.
That's right.
Oh, it's 3 hours, 45 minutes. Really 15 minutes ain't cheating because I'm still taking it as prescribed. So I'm not relapsing yet.
And then you start saying, you know, I'm not drinking tonight. So maybe a few of my friends will come over and we'll just pop a Norco and watch a movie. What's wrong with that?
Well, first I called the doctor and I was like, hey, man, it says take 2 every 4 to 6 hours and I'm sober. And if I take 3, because 2's not really working, it'll be a relapse. Can you change my prescription? So he changed it to 3 every 4 to 6 hours. And so that was my first like dopamine move to try to like do it. And then it was like 3 hours and 50 minutes, 3 hours and 40 minutes, and 3.5 hours is really, you know. And then like you said, it was just like, well, it's only been an hour, but I'm with my buddies and I won't take one later. But anyway, and then next thing you know, it was a year and a half later and I was taking 60 a day.
I've heard about this. I've heard like people go, dude, you're doing like 3 a day. That's not really addiction. People take 30 or 60. I'm like, no, they don't.
Yeah.
30 or 60 fucking pills.
Yeah.
Are they the 5 325s or the 5 525s?
They're the 10s.
Oh, the 10s? I wouldn't even take in the 10s.
But again, I feel like even one a day.
But 60, how are you alive?
Your body physically, like, I don't...
It's destroying everything in your body, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, sometimes I would taste it. When I'd burp, I'd taste the, acetaminophen, whatever it is. But I was taking, like, to get up out of bed, I was taking about 15. So some days, of course, it was expensive and hard to find that many. So at the minimum, to make it through the day, I was taking about, I would say, 30. Was like 20. Let's
You're
say
taking
20.
Between $1,500 and $2,000 street price of what Norcos or whatever are. You're spending, if you think about it, $2,000 a day.
Yeah. It wasn't every day. Like the minimum a day I could make it through was like 20, because I'd have to take at least 10 right off the bat. I would drink five at once just to get out of bed. And then I would try to save the other 10 for as late as I could go. So 20 was the minimum. But the good days where I had a lot and a lot of like to spare, I would take 10 and then I would take 10 5 hours later. And then later on, I would take another maybe 15. And then like, so
I'm amazed
bad,
that
dude.
First of all, I'm glad. I'm glad that you, first of all, survived all this, changed your life. Have a beautiful daughter. Am I right this time?
Yes, yes.
You know, a wife that you love and you're working. You changed your life. And honestly, can you say, I mean, some people would just sit there and go, being sober is so much better than being, it is. When you could add health and love and connection and things in the life, that is a drug. It can be a drug. It's weird to say, especially.
It is, no.
You know, but do you, is it hard, is every day a challenge?
Not as much now. And I know, like for me, for years, I was, especially after the 4 years, because I thought I was good and stuff. I never thought I was cured, but I thought about it less after 4 years and I sort of thought I was safe. So for a good 5-6 years, I was a little more cautious about being like, so it was a struggle for it. Like I think about it every day, like, hey, I never know. But I do feel less of that now. Like I know it's possible still, but I cannot picture relapsing with the kid and the wife and all the work and how good things are going. Like because I could play the tape. Like I can't imagine disappointing.
You know
Kevin
the ending.
Yet again.
You
like,
know the ending.
100%.
That's the thing with drugs and all this shit. You know the fucking ending.
Yeah, 100%.
It's like with a lot of things. It's like you know how this. If you go back to an ex-girlfriend, you go, you know that this is going to be great, and then that's going to, and then oh my god, don't you fucking call.
Yeah. Well, that's why I tell my old lady never that she literally don't have to worry about me ever cheating, because to me, I know as much as it might be like, oh, yes. Like, I know as soon as I'm like, gay, then I'm going to be like, what did I do?
Yeah.
And it's
too.
Not worth it. That 1.5 minutes that I could give, maybe 5 if I'm lucky, is not worth
never.
It.
Never. It really isn't worth it. What I love is you keep making movies, man. You love working. You love people. I've seen you with your fans. It's nice to see, because some people just like sign and just want to get out of there and make a buck. And some people take the time and go, hey, this is your vacation and this is your trip and you came here to see me or whatever. And I'm going to make this moment last, or I'm going to make this. You hug your fans. You're with your fans. And, you know, it's just a beautiful thing. It's just a nice thing to see from another actor, one of your peers. And so thank you.
Thank
Everyone
you,
thanks
man.
You. You're a good dude. And Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
Yes.
Is this one of those things where you've been talking about it a while? Or is it one of those things where you're like, come on, Kevin, what the fuck? Or was he like, come on, Jay?
No, I wanted to do it. I mean, again, I wanted to do something. I had mentioned for years, honestly, especially after I had a few years sober, we started doing the podcast, Jay and Bob Get All. We did that for 6 years, touring with it, and we do the show live, and then it goes up on iTunes and all that. When we were doing, after about a couple of years of doing the podcast and stuff, and I felt good, I'm like, Kev, man, like, things are going good. I feel good. Like, I think we should do another movie, because not only would it be fun to do another Jay and Bob, I was like, when we're doing our podcast, like, we already did touring of Jay and Bob Get Old, and people know Jay and Bob, the title.
Right.
Some people are like, who is that? I just came to this comedy club, and all of a sudden, there's these two guys on stage talking. I was like, but if we do a movie, we can revamp it with the millennials and all that stuff. And he was like, yeah, well, I don't know. And then he like got this story idea where he wanted to do Clerks 3. And that happened first. And then I was so excited because I was written in the movie, and it wasn't going to be Jay and Bob the whole movie. It was going to be Clerks, but we were in and out and a lot of fun, like really smart, fun script. But then that didn't happen. And so then after that, I was like, oh, man, I was so excited. Like, we had the money. We were going to go to Philly and shoot for 2 months. We had Airbnbs lined up. But one of the actors didn't want to do it, one of the main guys. And we couldn't do it without him because it's called Clerks. And so
how pissed was Kevin? How pissed were you?
Everyone was bummed. Everyone was disappointed. But again, I still don't know the reason the guy didn't want to do it. It definitely wasn't money, because I started being like, bro, I'm not making a lot, but I'll give you half of whatever I'm making. And then like a couple people were like, we'll give you half of what we're making. Like, so I know it wasn't a money thing. I just don't know. There's something else. I don't know. Right. And then Kevin was like, well, let's do Mallrats, man. We'll do Mallrats. I was like, yes, that'll be awesome. And then Universal owns Mallrats, and Universal was like, we don't want to make that movie. And we're like, well, we'll make it. We have the money. We have the, they were like, no, we won't let you make that movie. So then like Kevin was like, oh, and, but by that point, I feel like he was stoked and excited enough that he's like, you know what? I have a story to tell. Jay and Bob, you want to make a movie, Jay, for the last couple of years, we were going to do Clerks, Mallrats, and I want to make a movie, and no one could say no, because we're the main guys. We own the rights. We don't have to worry about Universal or someone saying no. And so, it went from that. But I've been wanting to make one for a while. But both of us were totally down, very excited. I think he wanted to start with like Clerks 3 or Mallrats 2 and then go to Jay and Bob. But we just jumped to Jay and Bob. So.
And this comes out when?
October 17th and 18th. I believe I'm saying the right dates.
Jay and Silent Bob reboot. It's around there.
Yes, it's there. Yeah,
you know, it's in that. If it's not the 17th or 18th, it's probably the 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th. Look for it. You guys are so likable, so it's easy to watch and it's fun. It's always been. Who is your, out of all the movies you've done, is there one actor other than Kevin that you go, I just fucking love working with this dude or this girl. I just loved it. It was so fun. Or that movie that you were just like, that was the most fun I ever had.
Mallrats. I definitely would say the combination of that, because I feel like for me, I was like 20 years old, and it was the first stupid movie for me. Clerks was the first movie, but it was again like 10 of us, 10 friends that grew up together, and I was like nervous. I would go to my normal job every day, which was putting roofs on houses. At nighttime, I'd come and we'd shoot from 10 at night till when we were done. And then I didn't really know much about it. I would just show up, memorize my stuff. But Mallrats, like I actually like went out to Minnesota and I was in a hotel for 2 months. We were in the mall running around. I got to meet Jason Lee, Shannon Doherty, which I watched on 90210. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this girl's humongous. I watched her for years. And then I got to meet Stan Lee, which was so surreal for me. And I had so much fun as a 20-year-old kid out in the city in a hotel for 2 months, like getting per diem. Like I used to roof for a week making $400 cash, and they were giving me $400 cash per diem. And I was like, this is per diem is amazing. You know, like, and there were stunt guys and there was wardrobe, and it was such a surreal few months, man. It was really surreal, and I had so much fun on that. So yes, Mallrats stands out, and meeting, I would say, Stan Lee will always be like my highlight of everything. And there's so many other cool people I've got to work with, Alan Rickman, George Carlin, and all these cool people.
Jason Lee I like a lot.
He's a lot of fun. That's
what is he up to? Also.
He's like doing photography, and I think he has a photography business. But
he's,
I know,
such a good actor.
Yeah, he's out. I forget where he lives now. He's, but not, he's in, married. No, he has kids.
No, Cali. He's not in Cali.
No, he's not in Cali. He's in like.
You talk to him every once in a while.
Well, just when we were on the movie, not otherwise. But I had seen him on the movie, and we spent a few days together. He's a very nice guy. I love him. But I had so much fun with him on the movie. That was his first movie too.
Wow.
And so he was a professional skateboarder. He auditioned for Mallrats. Got got the part and I got to spend time, and he was so excited to be there. And then Ethan Suplee,
I love him
and
Ethan.
Me too.
I gotta get him on here.
Yeah, he's so great, dude. Yeah. And he took me when I came out, every time I came out to LA, like Ethan took me under his wing because he hung out with everybody, and he like would pick me up at the airport and he would bring me around. I met his parents and like he would bring me to a couple of the restaurants. I remember the first time I came out here, Ethan's like, we're gonna go meet some friends.
Did you hang out with Leo?
We went to the Formosa,
Yeah.
Which is so surreal for me. You know, Jersey guy, never been I've been to LA before,
right?
Except for when we auditioned for Mallrats. I had to audition for Mallrats.
What?
Yeah, because the producers were like, well, he's never done a movie, hasn't had acting coaches, like he's
so
never.
Kevin
done...
prepped the shit out of you.
Yeah,
he helped the shit out.
Yeah, and Kevin never didn't want. He's like, dude, the character's based on him. It's him. We can't change it. But they were like, I don't care. We're gonna hold auditions. And like, so Mark Paul Gosselaar came and auditioned for Jay. Seth Green. Seth Green actually was runner up. Like if I'd messed up, they were gonna bring Seth Green in, and Seth Green would have played Jay. How crazy.
Does Seth know that I'll ask him?
I don't know. You should ask him if he... I think he does know.
The whole thing would have changed.
Brecken Meyers. Like, it's so crazy, the people that were there now, because later... So I go to the Formosa. It's so weird for me. I walk in. Ethan's like, come over to the table with my friends. He's sitting with, like, Leo, Tobey Maguire. You know, like, all these cats that hung out. Jason Blum.
I know
Dax,
all of them.
Dash.
Dash Mihawk.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. He was surreal for me.
And like, Leo was always such a nice guy. He's always been such a cool cat,
yeah,
right?
Everybody
and you, I remember him playing Bond on Nintendo or whatever at my house.
Yeah.
At this rental house. And just playing, coming over a couple times a week, just playing with me and Jay Ferguson, playing wiffle ball with us and football. Just a regular dude. He was such a good guy. Then I wasn't as starstruck as I've got now because he's so big.
Yeah.
He's larger than life, even though how do you get bigger than Titanic? But I do remember getting naked at his house once and wearing his Titanic robe. And I walk out there and I was naked with his Titanic robe open, my junk hanging out. And he's like, good God.
Nice.
And he laughed his ass off.
I love it, dude.
But man, I wish he would have let me keep that.
It's
surreal.
It's interesting. I find that there's certain people, like, you think about how big some people are, like their name. Like, again, I think there's people that a lot of people know, but like all over the world, you think. I think about like Justin Bieber, Michael Jackson, like Leo. Like, there's some people that it's like you could go to like a little island in wherever and be like,
I still
know
you.
Justin Bieber. They'd be like, oh,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I think
you can
Leo
go to
is
an island
like,
of babies.
It's got to be so weird.
And they look at you and go, oh, go, go.
Exactly.
Leo.
Exactly. It's got to be so weird to be that.
Yeah.
Like,
do you want to be that famous?
No, not at all. And again,
was there a time, I'm sure, like we all did, like I wanted to be famous. I wanted to be like everybody know me. And now I stopped caring about that stuff. I mean, look, you don't want people to like you. You want to be successful, but I don't have to. I just want to enjoy things.
I
want to
be
more
successful. I don't want to get, I remember going, my buddy worked for Ben Affleck, and we went to his house once because he said, hey, can you come? We were like out eating. We'd ride motorcycles together, and he's like, hey, can you come help me? I really have to be somewhere, and I need to wash my two cars. And Brian's like, my buddy's like, will you come help me? So we go to Ben's house. We go get the cars, you know. We come out. I'm not exaggerating, dude. There's four cars of paparazzi outside of Jen Gardner's and Ben's house. And like we had the windows tinted up and stuff, and they followed us for like five blocks. Finally, like me and my buddy are behind each other because I'm following him to go, and we roll the windows down and we look, and they're like, whoa, and they turn around. But I can't imagine, my point is, can't imagine coming out of my driveway every day and people taking pictures of me. You'd have to watch every move you make.
I think what happens is in the beginning, you're like, oh my God, this is crazy. Look at this. I remember feeling crazy when like Smallville hit or something. They recognized you from a movie. I'm like, oh my God, look at this. And then there has to be come a time where like, okay, that was cool, but now I have no privacy. I never had to worry about that.
I'm going to the bathroom, man. Come on.
Dude, I've actually had that. I'm taking a piss.
Yeah.
And this guy at a concert, it was like Chicago, you know, the band.
Yeah.
And he looks at me while he's like, dude, Lex Luthor. I'm like, I'm holding my dick. Can we talk about this right afterwards?
Yeah.
Let me hold my Johnson.
Yeah.
Well, look, man, this has been a real treat. I really appreciated this. This was a lot of fun. And I mean, you're so open and candid and just a dude. We're going to go to Reflexology, get our feet worked on. We're going to go for a swim. I want to meet the kid.
Awesome.
Got to meet the wife.
Yes.
This was a real joy, man. I'd come Thank on your you. Podcast any time of the day, man.
Love it.
And
love it.
Do we come up with a name for Ryan here?
How about Peekaboo? Because he like comes out and says one thing and then he goes back.
Like a turtle almost.
Yeah. He like gave
peek-a-boo.
Us. Yeah, like or Peekaboo.
How about Boo?
Or Boo.
No, that Boo's been done. Boo.
Yeah,
hey,
that's Peekaboo. Peekaboo.
Peeky Poo.
No, I don't know.
Peeky Poo. Hey, Peeky Poo. What do you guys think? Peeky Poo? Maybe.
Yeah, leave some comments. Peeky Poo, Peekaboo.
Silent Ryan?
Silent Ryan, yeah. He only says things sometimes.
Private Ryan.
Silent Ryan. Well,
Silent Ryan.
Because right now.
We'll remember where we named him.
Yeah, and because in the movies, Bob only talks once in a while to say something important. He spoke about twice throughout this podcast to give us information. So he is Silent Ryan.
That's what I'm for.
Yes, that's
Jay and Silent Bob reboot October, mid-October. Look for it. Look, man, he's obviously, if you listen to this podcast, there's no doubt that you're entertained by him. And he's so open and honest. He's a real dude. The movies are hilarious. You want to sit down and have a laugh. Movies are so fucking boring nowadays that you're going to have some fun with this one. I love this, every bit of it. And what's your handle, Twitter and Instagram?
So JMuse, JAYMEWES is my Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, but also my Twitch. Follow me on Twitch, please. I'm trying to build my Twitch up. I started doing about 3 months ago. I do Lego building. I play video games, and I walk around with my backpack. It's like IRL backpacking, just chatting.
From Jason Muse with Jay and Silent Bob reboot to Silent Ryan.
Yes.
I'm Michael Rosenbaum. Thank you for allowing me to be inside of you, Jason.
Thank you.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.